Hello and welcome to On Landscape. I'm sitting here with David Ward, Andrew Nadolski and Joe Cornish. And we're talking about a few subjects, but the first thing we're having a chat about is what is landscape? And this is a subject that has come up when we announced our UND competition, a landscape photography award, because people wanted to know what counts and what doesn't count. And the short answer before was it's very subjective, but this little chat about is what each individual person's subjective point of view is. So I'll open it up to David first to say, what do you think is landscape? Because you don't think of yourself as a landscape photographer, or at least you ponder it.
I ponder it, yes. I'm not sure if I'm still a landscape photographer. The landscape is, or the outdoors is my place of work, I suppose, but do I actually... And it's my subject, you could say, but, or at least it's my raw material, but I don't think my subject is always the landscape. It's obviously, sometimes it's literal, but sometimes it's more about exploring how I see.
Yeah.
So I love being in the outdoors, I love working in the landscape. It's so much better than being in a studio. God, I used to hate it when I did that. But I'm not sure that the landscape is necessarily the subject, at least it's certainly not the subject of my favourite images. What is a landscape? That's a really big question. I mean, if you look at the kind of history of painting, perhaps that's instructive in a way. If we look at when landscape moved from being a backdrop to being the subject, and that's often cited as being the Dutch painting school, when Holland achieved independence from William of Orange, they wanted to celebrate their landscape, they wanted to celebrate their homeland, so the landscape became a motif for their freedom. But it was always inhabited landscape. It was always showing their ships or showing people on the farming, or showing, you know, there would be a wide stretch of farmland and there'd be a little village here and there or a church. So it was very much about mankind inhabiting the landscape. Now, yesterday when we were having a chat, we were talking about whether urban landscapes are really landscapes and where the dividing line is between the urban and the landscape.
The original definition of landscape or landschaft was everything outside the city.
Yeah, I think it was kind of, to use that kind of phrase derived from Norman French, beyond the pale. It was everything that was outside the settlement.
Yeah.
Now, lots of people consider urban landscapes to be a subgenre of landscape and not a separate subject. I'm not really sure where that dividing line lies. I think it's a really tricky one to call.
Because Andrew has... You're quite happy to include a lot of urban... and sort of street photography and urban photography.
Yeah, I think it becomes more problematic if you take an individual image. For argument's sake, the series I've been working on for nearly 30 years of the beaches of Newquay. There's one shot in particular which is just three beach signs with instructions of when the next high tide is. Now, on its own, you could possibly say, is that a landscape picture or not? But in the series of pictures which are about the landscapes of the beaches of Newquay,
context is obviously important.
Therefore, to me, it's justified as describing it as a landscape picture, or it's in a landscape series. It's a detail of the landscape. And I think it comes down to that argument of is it a detail or is it... Is landscape photography about a view, or is it about an element of the landscape, or how do we define it?
Could we agree? Okay, let's try and define it in an opposite direction. Could we agree that landscape photography is not everything that's outside a building?
Yeah, I would say that, because I think architecture is quite definable as a subgenre. Oh, sorry, a separate genre. I don't think that architectural photography is landscape photography, because it's about the built world, and primarily about the built world.
There must be a big blurred line somewhere in the middle there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where you have landscape with buildings, where the intentions... I mean, inevitably, you cannot create an absolute dividing line.
No, it's going to be blurred and it is going to be subjective.
I think
wide that gap is between the two.
Yeah, I think if somebody's commissioned to take a photograph of a building, then probably that's not landscape. But if somebody takes a view of the centre of Birmingham that includes lots of buildings, because that is the built landscape, that's not just about a singular building. It's, to me, that still qualifies as it's the urban landscape. So it may have a subgenre, but to me it's still landscape.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the wilderness.
No, absolutely. That's a
strong opinion of mine.
No, I agree with that, personally. I mean, I have my own, tried to work out a definition with the lay of the land. So a detailed shot in a city of a street pavement with some signs and posters in the background wouldn't be landscape because it doesn't relate to the actual land.
Yeah.
Whereas if you pull back a bit and you start to see the how everything sits on the land, it starts to become more about the land.
So that would place my intimate landscapes as being outside landscape because they're not about the lie of the land.
They're of the land, I would say. And the one where it doesn't fit quite in is when you take pictures of cars and you take pictures of sheds. Can't be a good shed. No.
But is that any different from photographing two pebbles that happen to be on a beach? Because if that rusted car is in the landscape, that is a detail of the landscape.
Well, that's where you say how decomposed is it? How much has it gone back?
Joe, can you carry on?
Joe. I mean, you get described as and consider yourself mostly a landscape photographer. Would have thought. Would you say that? Then everything you do outdoors is landscape photography?
No, probably not necessarily, but I have to say that it's. I expect that definitions will be debatable, and I think it's always very difficult to find this hard edge to a definition. I definitely do consider myself a landscape photographer. That's what I'm most interested in. I mean, to me, the perhaps as big a kind of question mark is what your tradition is in relation to the subject. So I see myself as a documentary photographer. In some ways, thinking of David's work, it's more reflective or mirror-like, about the process of seeing and about the experience of the very personal experience of an individual's way of seeing that. That might be harder to describe as landscape photography, although I don't know what you would describe it as.
So you're almost saying it's down to how the photographer considers himself, not necessarily their output.
I think, to an extent. And certainly for me, the documentary tradition is still important. And I guess that I'm really intrigued by the fact that the pictures that we take today, may be of interest to folks in 100 years' time because of what they describe. So the descriptive aspect, which is often seen as is obviously a strength of photography, but also a weakness. Is part of its inherent quality for me. So I still prefer to work in a way that captures quite a lot of detail and makes you feel quite sort of physically connected to the subject matter.
Yeah.
That's part of where I'm coming from.
I think you once said to me that your photographs were about an external relationship and my photographs were about an internal relationship. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's not too wide of the mark. I certainly think that looking at yours, your pictures are, I think, very intellectual, very imaginative, whereas I think mine are more kind of, they're more about touch and the physical experience of things. And it's, I don't think they're as clever, but, there is more about the sensory, perhaps.
See, I don't think of I think at the point at which I make a picture, it's a passionate relationship. I feel moved to make a picture. It's not that I'm not an intellectual conceit at the point at which I make an image. I think the main difference it is that I'm perhaps a lot of the time trying to explore how I see. But it's interesting what Tim said about, do you think that it's about the photographer's attitude that defines it?
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure that necessarily the viewer has any notion of that.
No. I mean, some people say they like landscape photography, but I think a lot of people like landscape photographers and then choose to like what they produce. And it's not necessarily, they won't go through it and say, I don't like that, because it's not landscape.
So it's somebody's work resonates for them.
Yeah.
And because that person is put into a category of landscape photographer, then it's about landscape photography.
Possibly, yeah.
Do you feel that genres are inhibiting? Joe, do you feel that genres are inhibiting?
I think they can be. And I personally do think that, although I contradict myself, although I think of myself as a landscape photographer, I think the most important thing, part of that is the word photographer. So I think somebody who I see myself as an eyewitness photographer. I go out and take pictures of the world that I see and the things that I love or feel passionate about and really enjoy. That's really, really important for me. Sometimes I photograph things that are just curious, and sometimes that make me mad, but usually it's because I love them.
So you're a fan of the landscape and a photographer?
Yeah, and that's especially true now, although it might well have been the reverse when I was younger, where it was just picture making. I love making pictures. Something I've done all my life, just the act of picture making, whether it's with a pencil or with a camera. Landscape provides me with it's the ultimate subject matter, because it's the world in a very simplified way. I tend to sort of think landscape starts almost at a macro level. I know that most people won't agree with that, but I still see that. That's where I start to see when I look around me. You look at the sky. And I was wondering, is a Stieglitz sky a landscape?
Yeah,
it's a skyscape.
The equivalence. Yes. Yeah, I was wondering that about whether a cloudscape is a landscape.
Yeah. And do we think of seascapes as landscapes?
I think people have said that at the
point. Yeah.
There was a debate, wasn't there, when Take a View, the first winner, John Gibb,
The wind farm,
because there was no land in the image.
So it was a man-made construction. No land in it.
And no land in it. But I would take an historical perspective on that, in the sense that there's a separation between landscape and seascape in painting genres, really because of historical, political separations.
Yeah.
Because painting seascapes. Why would I say photographing? Painting seascapes was in some senses quite often a political act. You were showing Britain's power as a navy or a merchantman or whatever, and that I don't think there's ever been that separation in photography, because photography came along at a later stage. So I don't feel that there's a separation between seascape and landscape.
Interestingly, some critics still view landscape photography as political, and they can regard it as a kind of male acquisitive colonial act to photograph landscape, which personally I totally disagree with. But
is it thinking about the going out and shooting like the big safari, going out and
shooting? Yes, there's an acquisitive element to it. Well, that's how it's seen by some feminist critics, for example, who regard it as a kind of
it can just be exploratory. It doesn't have to be acquisitive.
I'm not agreeing with that. I'm just saying that is one of the ways that
I think another criticism that could legitimately be levelled though is in a sense that the dominant celebratory aesthetic misses a lot of points about our environmental concerns, doesn't it, a lot of the time? And I know I've talked to you in the past that you say that you feel it's more powerful to make a celebratory image because it doesn't turn people off, and I agree with you, but I'm sure there is a level of criticism that could say, well, yeah, but you're bypassing what's going on, the rape of the land.
I would say that in general terms, seeing it from a fine art perspective, I think that most of the genre of photography, which I think I probably associated with, rightly or wrongly, is seen as completely irrelevant by the fine art and by the intellectual world, because they don't understand the other side of that, of the argument. They're only seeing it from the point of view, you're not showing, they actually will say, you're not showing what the landscape actually looks like. Okay, maybe it doesn't look like that when you're driving down the A1, but if you walk, and you look at what's actually out there, there's still a lot of relatively empty land with an uninteresting, in just talking the UK here, with a lot of nature, and the nature still dominates it.
But what because you're a photographer, not a painter, you are photographing what is there. So nobody could accuse you of creating a romantic painting that has removed the pylons that are running through the middle of it. But you might have chosen to exclude them from the frame, but it's just the same view that somebody would get if they stood over your shoulder and looked that way. So they would see that.
And it's still one of...
It's whether it matters whether it's the point of selection is made inside your head or inside the landscape, isn't it? And I think for a painter, the point of selection is made inside the head, whether they paint something or not. For a photographer, the point of selection is where they stand.
Yeah.
But your work is famous, Andrew, for being cooler, shall we say, than perhaps Joe's and mine. You know, not using velvet, using neg, using a more restrained palette, and lots of people see that as being more realistic than working with more saturated images.
Yeah. I suppose, but again, my colour, the choice of the light I choose to work in, is as much it's a personal preference to, you know, for argument's Joe's choice of in earlier generations of Velvia or yours, David. Mm. It's a choice of it's an aesthetic of what we, you know. I mean, I don't photograph the sort of seascapes that I've done in bright sunlight because I don't actually like that visual the colours, the tonality and the contrast. It's just it's a personal aesthetic. So in a sense, I'm being the light is like it is when I photograph because that's what it's like. But also, it can be saturated and be similar to how you two work when at different times of the day. So it's just a personal choice of what light you work in and how you work. I've just remembered who I actually was cross-referencing before. It's Richard Mizrash with his Desert Cantus. So you've got a shot of the white sands of the desert with a car parked in the middle. Yeah. So that's his hire car that he's parked there. See, that to me is still landscape.
Yeah.
If
we're going to introduce a photographer we all know, John Blakemore.
Right.
He started off with a lot of outside work in the landscape, but he brought a lot of that back into his studio.
Right.
Now, is some of the work he's done with the lilies and the reeds and things, does anybody think that as landscape in any way?
No. I personally wouldn't call that landscape. It's of the land because there is a relationship to elements of the land and growth and decay and things. But to me, that wouldn't constitute a landscape.
Yeah.
There's still life.
So
the landscape is found as well, then. That's another possible category for it. Same.
Well, I mean, you've got sort of Andy Goldborn.
Yeah, go after.
Well, it does also bring up to define artists like Richard Long and Andy Goldsworthy, whose work is often understood through their photography.
Yeah.
Is that landscape photography?
They specifically don't want to be called photographers.
I'm sure they don't.
Yes.
No, that would undermine their credibility as artists, wouldn't it?
But I mean, in many ways, Andrew Goldsworthy.
He says,
is
without a trace of bitterness.
Andrew Goldsworthy is a landscape photographer. He arranges things. I mean, it's not found. That's one of the differences there.
But he's a landscape sculptor, isn't he?
He's an environmental artist.
But I
really love his work. I find it really inspiring, and I think some of my photographs were inspired by some of his approaches. But
he's definitely underappreciated for being a photographer because he is an excellent photographer.
To Joe's right to a degree to keep the artistic credentials, he has to downplay the photography.
Yes,
a little bit.
Yeah,
because you have to see the photographs as records only. Then they can't be seen as pieces of artwork.
Paul Wakefield told me many, many years ago he thought that if Andy Goldsworthy was a better photographer, he wouldn't be taken seriously as an artist.
Yeah.
Which is maybe again tongue in cheek perhaps, but there is a truth in it. There is some truth in that.
So does that? I mean, that sort of says that the landscape is a found thing. It's about seeing and observing things in the land. Possibly.
I think that's we probably reach a bit of a consensus. I mean, the other photographer.
We can agree to disagree.
the other photographer that's worth discussing because there is a major show opening at the Photographer's Gallery, but Patinsky's work of oil.
Yes.
Which will be recommended to anybody to try and get to London to see that because
Absolutely. It
should be a stunning show. So he's somebody that has worked. With it's the man altered landscape, and his whole work is about man and the landscape. So and his wonderful shots in quarries, to me they are still landscapes, even though they may be looking down towards the bottom of a quarry. Mm. or the big piles of tyres, the tyre dumps in the Midwest, that they to me are still landscapes, even though they're giant piles of tyres.
Well, you can make quite a neat kind of, although probably spurious, opposition, couldn't you, between him and Ansel Adams, in that Adams is famously supposed to be the person credited with first photographing the landscape deliberately without any sign of man, and Patinsky's working at the opposite end, and he's talking about man's manipulation of the landscape.
Also, I was going to say, I think that view of Adams is completely wrong, in the sense he was nowhere near the first person to do that. You know, all of the American pioneer photographers who preceded him, the
William Henry Jackson,
the Carlton Watkins.
Well, I think I see Carlton Watkins as being a far superior photographer to Edward Weston. To Ansel Adams.
Not to Weston, please. Weston superior to Adams. That's fine.
Yes. I think that's take that as a given. But Carlton Watkins is somebody whose works pretty a bit undervalued. To me, there's some wonderful books of his stuff out there.
Mm.
And that was more, in a sense, that was more modern because it was more topographic. It has more resonance with contemporary landscape photography as a sort of documentary genre. It's less about the romantic, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, in Jackson's pictures when he was on the railway survey cruise, you know, when he's going across, and basically he's documenting the journey, not just in order to kind of have a record for Congress, but also so that the engineers could work out exactly where the lines are.
So that's what's. It's interesting with the word survey. I mean, it's. I think looking at Jeb Southern's work, I know Jeb very well and studied under him at art college, and I think he would see his work as being topographic surveys almost, rather than there's less romance. It's actually about recording changes in the landscape.
If we're not careful, we're going to have to come up with a definition for the word romance and romantic, because I'm very, very uncomfortable with it used in relation to landscape. But we do use it very loosely, and it's often applied as a pejorative term.
Why are you uncomfortable?
I'm uncomfortable with it because I think it has these associations of kind of soft focus. Idealistic, and I think that it's a term that is bandied about a lot, as if it's everybody agrees about what it means. I don't agree that everybody has a consensus about what it means.
No.
And I think it's difficult. I think there's lots of ways photography can be used, whether it's for kind of pure recording on the one hand, or for laying on a lot of a kind of apparent emotion on the other, but I don't see that as necessarily two separate ways of working. And I still see what I do as documentary photography.
But would you? I would look at your work, and I think I do the same, but in a different way, and say that to an extent it's concerned with the sublime and with beauty. And those are aspects of romanticism as well.
It's concerned with how light transforms the world, as an experience, and how that can change the way that we feel about it. I do accept that, but I don't accept that it's some kind of soft focus, fuzzy.
No. But sublime is not supposed to be soft focus and fuzzy. It's supposed
scary.
It's supposed to be ecstatic, verging on scary, isn't it? It's not supposed to be an easy thing. And then beauty isn't, I don't think. Beauty is not a kind of attractiveness on steroids, is it? Beauty is supposed to be something more deep.
Well, romantic was more about the suspension of intellectualization, I think, because it's allowing yourself to be absorbed in something.
Yeah, was it Caspar Friedrich and all that kind of stuff?
So it's more about saying, I'm not going to overanalyze things, I'm going to allow myself to be moved by something.
Well, there's a whole other subject that we could get to at some stage about when we're in the zone and the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, I think you were...
Yeah, I think it's interesting with photography, the way it's developed as an art form, in inverted commas, because I think if you listen to music, it's you can unashamedly be moved by a certain piece of music or not, or the notes will create a mood or emotion. It's something that sits uncomfortably when we talk about photography, and it almost there seems to be possibly to gain certain artistic credentials, you have to be seen as being almost without emotion.
The opposite of that definition.
Well, that's like my modernist view, isn't it? There has to be an intellectual conceit behind it.
And you know, it's like the sort of the Bescher school, kind of very analytical. But to me, there's still beauty in work like Elgar-Esser's work. It may be analytical as well, but it's that bit where when we start talking about emotion, it starts to sit uncomfortably with how some of the critics see photography. I mean, I don't have a problem with my end of the land work. It's meant to be read on pure emotion. It's a documentary of the landscape as it changes, but it's meant to work on a pure emotive level, and it didn't seem to suffer too badly with the critics for it. So, but it does. There's a certain level where your work almost won't go above if it's got emotion attached to it.
It's interesting though, because I mean, I think Edward Bertinsky's photographs are fantastically beautiful, and yet they might not be seen to be romantic or coming from that genre, because
they
are
powerful as well.
But they're very powerful.
They're almost the new Sublime, aren't they?
They are. But yes, they are. Yeah, if you think of those, I can't remember the name of the guy who did the kind of painting of the Armageddon, where the end of the world.
Sorry, I'll remember in a minute. I was going to say there is a photographer, a painter called Ward, who did who's a contemporary of his, John Martin.
Yeah. Because in a way, Bertinsky's have that kind of almost apocalyptic kind of strangeness about them sometimes, I think. I've lost the thread.
Coming back briefly to landscape, and what is landscape? I mean, we have...
Oh, that old talk.
we have got a... an award of some sort that we've got in the process, and in terms of judging whether something is landscape when people submit it, how would you go about deciding yourself if it was applicable?
I don't think I'd have a problem with most subjects apart from where it strays into the urban.
Yeah,
I think that would be the point at which I would perhaps find.
So the urban built environment possibly is at the edge of it.
Yeah, the built environment. It's about context again. If the built environment is surrounded by the landscape, and I'm not just talking about predominant French villages. You know, it's about that relationship, and Bertinsky's work, where he's talking about that relationship between man and the landscape. I mean, in the quarries, it's literally delving into the carcass, the body of the land, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely landscape. Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely landscape. So. I would have more trouble with, say, that famous picture of Gerskis.
The river.
The Rhine, yeah.
What about yourself?
Well, you see, I mean, it's interesting you should mention that one, David, because although that's a manipulated image, which obviously we wouldn't want to see, presumably, in our
as photographers, but as an artist, that's fine.
But you see, I'm thinking of John Davies' work. I mean, we were looking at one of his classic Agecroft Power Station, which I think nobody would argue is not a landscape. I would think that his shots of the Ark in London, I would still see those as landscapes. And there's no natural, I don't think you could see a natural feature in there, it's everything. And the shots of shopping centres, the Telford Shopping Centre and other bits and pieces, I would still see those as landscapes.
So a picture of the Pompidou Centre in Paris
if it's a building in isolation, that sits uncomfortably in the sort of definition of landscape.
Yeah.
But I would think all of John Davies' work is I'd see him as a landscape photographer. It's about
it's topographic, isn't it? It's a broad stepping back from it slightly.
But it doesn't have to include a natural element for me to be still seen.
So we look at Adam's work, or Golk's work from the New Topographics in the 1980s. I see a stronger relationship there because it's the tract houses and it's that encroachment onto the landscape. I see that.
That's his statement of that was what he was photographing. Mm. But I think landscape could constitute elements of somebody's back garden.
Yeah.
To me, or backyard. I would still see that on the edges of what the definition of landscape is. But I wouldn't have a problem excluding that from landscape.
Okay.
Well, I tend to agree with everything that's been said.
Everything?
Let me rewind.
Yeah. It's the fence you're sitting on.
In the last 1 minute.
Yes.
I agree with the definition so far. I'm a bit concerned that we're we might create a rod for our own back, but I do think that there is we want people to challenge the notion of what landscape photography is, so long as that it's making us think differently about it.
Yeah.
So I what I don't think we should be doing is setting up a kind of ring fence beyond which people think
if somebody's being experimental and doing something interesting and it's pushing
back. Yeah, in a way,
we're not defining landscape narrowly as a kind of, well, to get back to the word that you find problematic, as a romantic view of
far from it.
As a piece of bucolic southern England, for instance.
Well, it really is about anything that explores our relationship with land, and that could include significantly urban images, I would say.
Just to throw us out, the one area that one of my favourite landscape photography books is Moon.
Yes.
So that really, if anybody is able to contribute any photographs of planetary,
I think NASA might be in a good position to do that.
But in all seriousness, that's one of my favourite books that Michael Light put together by scanning the original NASA negatives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And created some wonderful panoramics. That's some of the most inspirational landscape work I've seen.
Perhaps one thing we should be doing is exploring a genre that doesn't exist yet, which is underwater landscapes.
Absolutely.
I've never seen.
We were looking at...
It's always a fish.
Yeah.
But I'll bet there's some incredible landscapes underwater.
I think there are huge technical problems about photographing a wide view underwater because the light falls off so
quickly. I know, but there's a challenge for
them.
So, and obviously it's at a certain depth, but you could light it.
Mm. Yeah. Just one thing comes to mind: macro photography, landscape. Is that landscape? Does it have to be naked eye perceivable?
Does it describe a relationship with landscape? I think that would be my question.
Yeah.
If it does, then definitely it's included.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for that. I think we don't actually have any answers as such. And the thing about the award, my own personal definition, I think, is similar in many ways, but it's about the picture should include something about the lie of the land, about how the land is and how we relate to it. So if it's just about the built environment and there's nothing to do with how the natural environment is reacting with it, then it's not landscape photography. That's my personal definition. So if you're in London and you're taking a picture of a street scene close up and you can't see the shape of the lie of the land, and then it's not landscape photography. If you step back a bit and all of a sudden you can see how the land lies, or you can see the Thames River going through it, then it starts to become more about landscape photography. That's my personal definition. But none of us have...
So going back to Baczynski's looking down into quarries.
That's of the land. It is the land, that is. I don't think it can get much closer to it.
Yeah, but that's man. Man has dug a big hole in the ground.
I don't know much problem with man. I mean, the whole of the UK is man manipulated in many ways.
Yeah.
Well, the coastline is perhaps the last true wilderness. The coastline and mountain.
But even all Saltwick Nab near Whitby, that is nearly all man manipulated because it used to be about a quarter of a mile further out.
It's one of the wonderful things about the UK is that nature is actually taken back from us in the north of England an awful lot. I mean, that's one of the it's really, really fascinating. I photographed underneath a bridge in North Yorkshire recently, and there were these strange, the bedrock had these shapes cut in them. And it's only later I realised that there were footings where...
A previous bridge.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And or they could have been cut when they were creating the bigger bridge that's there now for the scaffold.
Yeah.
The way that it's gradually being subsumed back into the natural order.
I think that process is about landscape as well
in many ways.
Deterioration of our...
All those beaches around Whitby and on that coast, which were all once industrial sites, are still covered in roadway
tracks
remains and all sorts of, again, footings and old harbour remains. And the sea has gradually reclaimed them. And the cliffs continue to erode and fall and so on. So it's rich, isn't it? But even the intertidal zone isn't as wild, perhaps. At least if you... It is wild, but it's affected by nature all the time.
Mm.
But there are fascinating remains and residue of our occupation.
So might we summarise to say that interaction between man and the landscape is perfectly permissible?
Valid, yes.
Yeah.
But at the point at which the man-made built environment dominates and there is no sign of landform, that's the point at which you would say there is. Whereas Andrew would say that it still is.
I think that's where the grey area starts to appear.
I think what we all agreed with, and I think it's one of the aims of the magazine, is we would like to see people possibly challenge.
Yeah.
And
as far as the awards we're talking about, I think we shouldn't try and set out what landscape photography is, because it should be malleable.
Yeah.
It should be like the English language defined by usage.
Yes.
Rather than having a council that sits and says what it is.
Yeah.
So it's down to the people who are judging to decide.
So we're not taking a French perspective.
We're not taking a French perspective now. God forbid. So I think that's it. I think it should be about the perception of the people who are looking at the subject or judging.
Yeah.
Or accepting to set their own criteria.
I think the listeners will have a good sense that there will be some hearty debates between the judges as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, thank you, everybody, for that.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.